With Cathy Opinion. I'd like to welcome all our listeners, those in Auckland and the surrounding regions, and now all over the world, people can now hear the program. Hope they learn something from it, perhaps. And today, I'm going to speak, did Jesus Christ, did he teach anything that he learned from his mother, Mary? So we now start with, today we've got my daughter, Marianne, with me to help me with the readings. Morning. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, Dad.
We now start with Our Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
So we'll now ask Marianne to read in the scriptures. Our Lady only spoke seven times. Her main one was the Saint Luke, was the Magnificat. That's her main time. She gave her thoughts about God to the world. And her being the Mother of God, what she says is very important. So we'll now ask Marianne to read chapter 1 of St. Luke's Gospel.
The conception of John the Baptist and of Christ, the visitation and canticle of the Blessed Virgin, the birth of the Baptist and the canticle of Zachary. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a narration of the things that have been accomplished among us, according as they have delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having diligently attained to all things from the beginning, to write to thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the verity of those words in which thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of King Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zachary, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name Elizabeth. And they were both just before God, walking all the commandments and justifications of the Lord without blame. And they had no son, for that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well advanced in years. And it came to pass, when he executed the priestly function in the order of his course before God, according to the custom of the priestly office, it was his lot to offer incense, going into the temple of the Lord. And all the multitude of the people was praying without at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zachary, seeing him, was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Fear not, Zachary, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his nativity. For he shall be great before the Lord, and shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he shall convert many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that he may turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the incredulous to the wisdom of the just, to prepare unto the Lord a perfect people. And Zachary said to the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel, who stand before God, and am sent to speak to thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be able to speak until the day wherein these things shall come to pass, because thou hast not believed my words, which shall be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zachary, and they wondered that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they understood that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he made signs to them and remained dumb. And it came to pass after the days of his office were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days Elizabeth his wife conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days when he hath had regard to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Who, having heard, was troubled at his saying, and thought with herself what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How shall this be done, because I know not man? And the angel answering said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the Holy which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her that is called barren, because no word shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary, rising up in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zachary and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord.
This is the main time Our Lady speaks in the Scriptures. Listen carefully to it.
And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. He hath showed might in his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath received Israel his servant, being mindful of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and she returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time of being delivered was come, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbours and kinsfolks heard that the Lord had showed his great mercy towards her, and they congratulated with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him by his father's name, Zachary. And his mother answering said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And demanding a writing table, he wrote, saying, John is his name. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbours, and all these things were noised abroad over all the hill country of Judea. And all that they had heard them laid up in their heart, saying, What a one, think ye, shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And Zechariah's father was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he hath visited and wrought the redemption of his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation to us in the house of David his servant. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who are from the beginning, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy testament, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father that he would grant to us, that being delivered from the hand of our enemies, we may serve him without fear, in holiness and justice before him all our days. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people unto the remission of their sins, through the bowels of the mercy of our God, in which the Orient from on high hath visited us, to enlighten them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to direct our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and was strengthened in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel.
Good, thanks very much, Marianne. So we now look at the seven sayings of Our Lady in the Scriptures. Notes in that reading, how often the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God, God himself, there's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was all around Our Lady. He was the spouse of Our Lady. And so Our Lady says, firstly, my soul does magnify the Lord. And then when she spoke to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, since she heard Our Lady's greeting of Our Lady's voice, that her babe leapt in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then later on, at the marriage feast of Cana, Our Lady noticed when she was working in the kitchen, they have no wine, she says to her son. And he said, What's this to me? My time has not yet come. Yet she turned to the servant and said, Do whatever Jesus says, which is very good advice to us listeners. Do whatever Jesus says. That's good advice. So the servant fetched six big buckets full of water, which our Lord turned into wine. And then, as Our Lady said later in the readings, when our Lord was lost in the temple, My son, why have you done this? Your father and I have been very worried about you. And finally then, also, when the angel came to Mary to be the mother of God, she says, How can this be? And the angel Gabriel explained to her how the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and she would bring forth a son, and she would call Jesus. Then our Lord also. And other things that when a lady spoke, some of the same key words that she says in her, when she spoke, Blessed be thee amongst women, the Holy Ghost said. She said, My soul does magnify the Lord. And holy is the name. The name of God is holy, which our Lord used when he gave us the Our Father. Holy is the name of God. So obviously he picked us up from his mother. And a lady says in her prayer there, We must fear him. And she says the proud are cast down. And the word she used often was the word humility, because she was humble. And in the eight Beatitudes, our Lord says, Blessed the humble. And also Our Lady says in her prayer, Holy is his name, and that the proud will be put down from their seats, and the mighty cast down, and the humble will be elevated again. Once again, that word humble. And the hungry, they will be lifted up, and the rich will be cast down. Often our Lord has spoken about the rich being cast down. And one of the words the lady often says was the word mercy. She says, Receive Israel, and the blessing of Abraham received forever. So our Lord often spoke about Abraham. We now get Marianne to read the eight Beatitudes to us, which often seem to be talking about Our Lady. her humility, her meekness, her, especially her purity. Number six, bless the pure heart, for the pure heart will see God. Thanks very much, Marianne.
The eight Beatitudes are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Thanks, Marianne. I especially love myself. Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see a God. Because it's very hard to be pure. So having read the seven words of Our Lady, we also think of the seven sorrows of Our Lady, which the Church celebrates the Feast of the Seven Dolors. And the first one was the great sorrow when Our Lady had to take Jesus to Egypt as a child because Herod was trying to kill him. And also, when she took Jesus to the temple, the prophet Simeon said, a sword will pierce your heart. And the sword did pierce Our Lady's heart, which had to see her son Jesus die. The third one, when they crowned Our Lord with thorns, the great sorrow of Our Lady, seeing the immense pain that Jesus suffered when the thorns pierced his head. And the fourth sorrow of Our Lady was when she had to see her son Jesus carrying his cross and falling. And the great, great sorrow of Our Lady is when Jesus had to die on the cross, when he gave his mother to us, Son, behold thy mother, Mother, behold thy son. And then the great sorrow of the death of Jesus on the cross. And then the taking down from the cross was a great sorrow to Our Lady, and they buried in the tomb and closed the door. So Our Lady had great sorrows, just like seven is of great words in the Bible, because seven is God's number. So we've had the seven sayings of Our Lady, we have the seven sorrows of Our Lady, and also on the cross we have the seven words of Jesus the cross. He spoke seven times the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all secondly he says, I thirst. And the third, he spoke about paradise. And fourthly he says, Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And fifthly he says, my God, why hast thou abandoned me? That's the 21st Psalm, written 1,000 years beforehand by his ancestor David. And finally, as he was dying, he says, it is consummated. I think to note with Our Lady and Jesus is the great silence of Our Lady in watching her son die. She said nothing. In all this pain, she said nothing. In the sorrows, she said nothing. She was a woman of silence. And Jesus likewise, he was a man of silence. He suffered in peace, suffered just saying prayer to his Father, giving his will to God the Father. Also with the seven, we have the seven sacraments of the Church. Do you remember what they are, listeners? The seven sacraments, the first. The first is the greatest. This is baptism. The second sacrament of the Church is confirmation, where the Holy Ghost comes down upon us and makes us strong. And the next one is Holy Communion, when we go to Mass and receive Holy Communion. The next one is confession, when the priest forgives us our sin. Next great sacrament is Holy Orders, when the bishop makes a young man a priest. Well, young man who chooses to be a priest. And next is the last sacrament. The last sacrament, I love the last sacrament of the Church, that when you're sick, the priest blesses us with oils. I've received this seven times already, my listeners, this last sacrament, because I've had six heart attacks and three strokes. And usually a priest comes to me in the hospital and gives me that great blessing of the church, which was promised by St. James in his epistle, chapter 5. The next last of them is the sacrament of marriage. So listen, well, now I'll get man to read this over the saying of Our Lady in the Bible, often in the Old Testament.
Our Lady in the Old Testament. When God decreed the redemption of the human race through the incarnation of his only Son, at the same time he chose Mary to be his mother and co-redemptress. The first messianic promise indicates the part to be played by Our Lady. In the Latin Vulgate, the reading, "She is to crush your head," has replaced the original "He," Christ. This is not inspired scripture, but a witness of tradition to the co-redemptress role to be played by Mary in the redemption of the human race.
Do you remember that, listeners? With page 3 of the Bible, God made this promise to Satan. "I will make war, Satan, between you and a woman." Another one, not Eve. "Between your seed, Satan, and her seed, and she will crush your head." So Mary's going to crush the head of Satan towards the end of the world, it looks like, listen, which seems to be approaching a little bit now.
In two other passages, Isaiah 7:14 and Micah 5:3, the mother alone of the Messiah is mentioned. A further mention is made in the Vulgate text of Jeremiah 31:22. "Weak woman is to be the protectress of man's strength." This is not an inspired text, but like Genesis 3:15, it is a traditional interpretation of the part of Our Lady in the incarnate life of her Son. In Psalm 44 and the Song of Songs, the bride stands for the church, the mystical body of Christ. Since Mary is the mother of the mystical Christ, as well as of the physical Christ, it seems that the Holy Spirit intended some allusions to her when speaking of the bride. Mary is not only bound to Jesus in the closest bonds of personal love, she is the exemplar and archetype of the church. She personalizes the abstract collectivity of the church. The main proof for this is the continuous use in the liturgy of the church of passages from these writings for the various feasts of Mary. The doctrine of divine wisdom contained in the books of Proverbs and Sirach literally refers to the second person of the Trinity. The liturgy also aptly applies these texts to Mary, the seat of wisdom. She is the mother of God, and with due proportion, what is said of her son can be said of her. She is associated with her son in the creative government of the world. She is also associated with the redeeming wisdom in the work of salvation and sanctification. She and the power of her son bring the whole universe to the feet of God. Spiritual writers in the liturgy of the church have seen Mary foreshadowed in several Old Testament persons. None of these are expressly cited in the New Testament, so that we have not absolute certitude that God intended them to be types of Mary. Just as Christ is the second Adam, so Mary is the second Eve. Eve brought death to mankind, Mary brought life. Eve's disobedience to God's command was righted by Mary's acceptance of divine motherhood. Mary's humility is contrasted with Eve's pride. God appeared to Moses in the desert of Sinai in a burning bush. And here the Lord revealed himself through a flame that rose up from the midst of a bush. It seemed that this bush was alight, yet did not burn. This was a symbol of the perpetual virginity of Mary. She gave birth to the Redeemer without losing her virginity. Mary, the sister of Moses and Aaron, sang a song of gratitude to God for delivery from Egypt after crossing the Red Sea. Mary, the mother of Jesus, sang her Magnificat at the beginning of mankind's spiritual liberation. A third type from the Exodus period is the Ark of the Covenant, a title applied to Our Lady in the Litany. The Ark was the container of God's way of life for his people, the Mosaic Law. It was the holiest object of the Old Testament. Over it stood the cherubim, symbols of the divine presence. The luminous cloud overshadowed it. Mary carried the divine child in her womb after the incarnation, when the power of the Most High overshadowed her. Yahiel, wife of Heber, is presented as a type of Mary when she slew Sisera. Mary triumphed over the power of the enemy by giving birth to the Redeemer. For this she was blessed above all women. In Gideon's fleece, both the birth of Christ from Mary and her sinlessness are typified. When the fleece alone was filled with dew, the ground staying dry, it signified the Son of God assuming a human nature from Mary the Virgin. When the fleece alone remained dry, it signified Mary's immaculate conception. She alone was preserved free from original sin. The lamentations of Jeremiah are put on the lips of both Jesus and his mother for their sorrowful feasts. Since Mary shared in the redemption as co-redemptress, she too experienced the mental anguish expressed in lamentations. Look well, you that pass by, and say if there was ever grief like this grief of mine. A text from Ezekiel's vision of the ideal temple has been understood of Our Lady. Shut this gate must ever be, nor open its doors to give man entrance again, since the Lord, the God of Israel, entered by it. This porta clusa is Mary, through whom the Creator came into his world. For this reason, Mary remained a virgin ever after. It was not fitting that any other person should be born to her after the incarnation. In the 5th century BC, Esther became queen of Persia because of her beauty. Through her queenship, she was able to save her people, the Jews, from destruction. Mary is the queen of heaven with a beauty both of body and soul. Through her cooperation, the whole world was saved from sin. A century later, Judith rose up as the saviour of the city of Bethlehem, house of God. She went out and killed the besieging general Holofernes. She was greeted by her townspeople. You are the boast of Jerusalem, the joy of Israel, the pride of our people. And this she foreshadowed the part played by Mary in our redemption, and is so honoured in the liturgy. The valiant woman of Proverbs 31:10-21 may be regarded as a type of Mary, the ideal woman. Her worth, her industry in looking after her household, her virtuous life in the home at Nazareth, made her the most perfect woman of the human race.
Thanks very much, Mary, and well done. So, listeners, the Church also celebrates Mary. We do not worship her because she is not God. She is the Mother of God. We give her great honour. How we especially do this is through the Rosary. So we'll say one thing of the Rosary to celebrate, because in this we celebrate the words from God through the angel Gabriel when he says Hail Mary. In the Rosary we say it many times, and many of us pray it all day long. So this is a great celebration of Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
These are words now, listen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and bring all souls to heaven, especially those most in thy mercy. Well, listen, the program's coming in now. Hope you enjoyed the program and learned something about how lots of things that Jesus taught were taught to him by his mother, to fear and honour God, and to how to fast, to pray him for his great death, for his great fast. So let's hope to speak to you next week. Good afternoon, and God bless you.
God bless.